This hour of the Trevor Carey Show is powered by Energy Concepts.
A lawsuit in Arizona moved forward over a rejection of ballots that a Trump campaign attorney says should have been handled manually. Instead, the machine rejected them. Meanwhile, in Detroit, a judge says he'll issue a ruling Friday. Attorneys for those who filed affidavits alleging fraud or irregularities added another affidavit to their pile from a woman who says some ballot stacks were run through machines multiple times, meaning those votes were counted over and over again.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Well, it is the 11th hour now after this election. And these GOP cronies know it is over. Shame on you for allowing crazy to become contagious as COVID in your ranks. Why do you think Trump is ousting Pentagon leadership and loading up with loyalists? Maybe it's for troop withdrawal. Maybe it's to get Russian information released. And maybe it is because he is twisted enough to try to do something way worse. Remember who said nothing. Remember their shame.
Oh, quit, you shameful character, you, Chris Cuomo on CNN. We saw this frog coming from a country mile. A few days before the election, what was old Joe bragging about? Oh, yeah, his team put together, what was it, the most extensive?
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Okay. Absentee ballots. That's the big thing. Mail them out to everybody. That's the largest source of potential voter fraud. President Trump talked about it in the debate back in September. It was also the conclusion of a bipartisan 2005 report of the Commission on Federal Election Reform. This was chaired by former President Jimmy Carter, former Secretary of State James Baker. What happened in 15 years? Well, I think we know what happened.
I am the chosen one.
Yeah, that happened. And then COVID happened. And then they realized, hey, don't let a good crisis go to waste. This is an excuse to keep folks from having to vote in a verifiable way in person, right? Let's flood all these mail-in ballots that Jimmy Carter warned us about. And let's see how many high vote totals we can run up. Well, I guess it worked at the moment. President Trump has 72 million votes across America, 9 million more than any Republican has ever received. But Joe Biden has 77 million, and I guess still counting, right? That is a population-adjusted vote, way more than the young man Barack Obama received in 2008. So this is why Attorney General William Barr said back in September that, quote, this is playing with fire. He said, we're a very closely divided country here, and people have to have confidence in the results of the election and the legitimacy of the government. And people trying to change the rules to this, which is a matter of logic, is very open to fraud and coercion, is reckless, and it is dangerous. They said it in 2005, Jimmy Carter. They did a whole sit-down with suits on and meetings and looking at stats. You had Republicans, you had Democrats, former Secretary of State, former President, and they all said, no, if you want to have voter fraud and election fraud, that's the way to get her done there, boys.
Will you pledge tonight that you will not declare victory until the election has been independently certified?
All right, to be a true prophet, right? And he is.
I am the chosen one.
Your prophecies have to come true, correct? That's right. If you're a prophet, make a prediction. It doesn't come true. Everybody will be like, you don't know what you're talking about.
President Trump, you
go
first.
I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully, because that's what has to happen. I am urging them to do it. As you know, today there was a big problem. In Philadelphia, they went in to watch. They were called poll watchers, a very safe, very nice thing. They were thrown out. They weren't allowed to watch. You know why? Because bad things happen in Philadelphia, bad things. And I am urging I am urging my people. I hope it's going to be a fair election. If it's a fair election, I am 100% on board. But if I see tens of thousands of ballots being manipulated, I can't go along with that. And I'll tell you what, from a common sense,
does that mean you're
going to
tell your people to take to the
screen? It means you have a fraudulent election. You're sending out 80 million ballots. They're not equipped to. These people aren't equipped to handle it, number one. Number two, they cheat. They cheat. Hey, they found ballots in a waste paper basket 3 days ago, and they all had the name military ballots. They were military. They all had the name Trump on them.
Vice President
Biden. You think
Biden,
that's good?
Vice President Biden, final question for you. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm while the vote is counted, and will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified?
Yes.
I will set up my president-elect a few days later. That's not what he said. He said, yes, he would wait, right? 16 years ago, the United States government had a problem with an election. And the reason they had a problem with an election 16 years ago, you're going, what, 2004? I don't remember. What are you talking about? George Bush and John Kerry? No, I'm talking about an election on the other side of the world that the United States government had a problem with. It was the presidential election in Ukraine. Why did the U.S. government have a problem with it? Because there were special voting boxes created to help citizens vote from home. Why did the U.S. government have a problem with it? Election observers were kicked out from vote counts. Why did the U.S. government have a problem with it? Pre-election polls were really, really off, and voter turnout in certain parts were over 90%. I mean, over 90%. Even North Korea doesn't get that. The State Department in 2004 declared that they were infuriated at this election. Let's recount that election by then Ambassador John Tefft. And he said this to a Senate committee in December of 2004, and he raised some questions. Now, if you're a little distrustful of what happened here on November 3rd, some of this, if you hear some of these tactics that happened in the Ukraine election, you'll see why we're questioning it right now. We have, what, a record number of Americans allowed to vote from home. GOP election observers claim they were kept from observing vote counts, right? Pre-election exit polls were wrong compared to actual vote. There were some city ward precincts where voter turnout was, what do we call it? Historically high. Talked about it with Liz Peek the other day. Wisconsin, Milwaukee County, more than 90 of the 400-plus wards there had a final turnout of 90% or greater. Back in 2004, the U.S. State Department saw a turnout like that in the Ukraine as utterly ridiculous. State officials were concerned by the high number of Ukrainians who were allowed to cast absentee ballots into special boxes placed outside unmonitored locations. What is that? What does that sound like? America 2020. They said much of the voting occurred without observers being present and was massively fraudulent. One of the Bush administration's biggest complaints about the Ukraine election of 2004 was that opposition party observers were kicked out from ballot counting locations or left unable to observe the count. Sound familiar? State Department in 2004 had concerns that the final votes counted in the Ukraine were far different than the pre-election and exit polls, which had predicted a different outcome. We'll hold up a mirror. That's America today. President Trump outperformed all the margins of all those pre-election polls. The ABC News Washington Post poll showed him down 17 points in Wisconsin. Right now, he's losing by a little less than 20,000 votes. So it raises a real important question. Should America, should we be sharing similar situations with like a Ukrainian election that our State Department even in 2004 said, well, based on the red flags that we see right now, that's a corrupt voting process that's going on. So we bring up those same red flags now, and you're called a conspiracy theory. That's why half of America is not going to accept this. Oh, but those that are out there that watch NBC, man, Americans, way to go. You toppled a dictator.
And around the world, leaders are welcoming Joe Biden's election and the prospect of re-engaging with the United States. NBC's Richard Engel now with that part of the story.
Joe Biden has won.
Much of the world is reacting to President Trump's defeat as if Americans toppled a dictator.
The world had to get rid of him.
He degraded America.
Congratulations have poured in for President-elect Biden. That's normal. What's not is the sense of relief that America First isolationism is over. The mayor of Paris tweeted, "Welcome back, America." When President Trump was elected, a German magazine showed him decapitating the Statue of Liberty. In the new edition, President-elect Biden is restoring it. So what will actually change? Engagement is back. Biden says he'll refund the WHO, rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, recommit to NATO, and then revive the Iran deal. Who potentially loses? Israel is nervous. President Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Palestinians felt ignored and refused to deal with Washington. Now they hope Biden will re-engage. Also nervous, the UK's Boris Johnson, a champion of leaving the European Union, who Biden has called a Trump clone.
Russia has yet to congratulate President-elect Biden, saying it's waiting for more official results. China, silent too, does not expect its Cold War with the U.S. to thaw under Biden.
I hate the actions of NBC News, and I'm praying to God to make me not hate those propagandists. That's what they are. We've known it from the start. We have people saying, well, it's time to heal. It's time for everybody to set down their battles, right, and come together. Well, I'll tell you right now, it was not the conservative movement. It wasn't Trump supporters. It wasn't the Republican Party that started all of this. And don't say, oh, you're acting like a kid. Well, they started it, so I'm... No. This is a revolution, guys. This isn't a little squabble. This is, as Congressman Nunes said, a countdown to socialism.
Anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome.
Hey, Aunt Esther, wig wearing Waters, Maxine Waters, Congresswoman from California. It's not right to tell people to harm people.
I did not call for harm for anybody. The president lied again. As a matter of fact, I believe in peaceful protest.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store,
I'll quit.
I would not in any way support any violence, anybody being hit or beaten, or then say to them, I'll help to get you out of jail. This president is guilty of all of that.
Nothing to see here. The left has never been violent. They weren't the ones that right after the election.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Hey, the leftists have embraced an enemy list. Make it your goal and get on it. I'll give you that list next. And the latest with Valadao Cox race. It's still going on. We'll talk with Alex Tavlian. San Joaquin Valley Sun coming up, bottom of the hour.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
There has been a quicker change in my TV viewing habits than at any time in my life. It's like I become a different person. I don't know what's on networks anymore and all that. We'll talk more about that, but we do know the media's anointed Joe Biden, right? He's the president. Time for America to unite and to heal. You know, when you hear him say that, they need to include or else. You know that's what they mean. They want to talk about unity. Yeah, it's on their terms, as we've seen. You either repent for what President Trump did, or we'll make you an unperson. Michelle Obama let America know exactly who's being targeted. I'm going to quote her. She lectured out, let's remember, tens of millions of people voted for the status quo, even when it means supporting lies, hate, chaos, and division. We know who started all that.
Yes. I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Think of all the names they've been called. It's really, it's sickening. Twitter exchange between AOC and some former Barack Obama staffer talked about a Stalin-style enemies list. AOC tweeted, is anybody archiving these Trump psychopaths when they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? I foresee decent probability of many deleted tweets, writings, and photos in the future. Get rid of that. We don't want them to know we voted for Trump. They're right outside. Washington Post columnist Jennifer Rubin, she said, NER, meaning Republican, now promoting rejection of an election or calling to not allow the will of the voters or making baseless allegations of fraud, should never serve in office. Join a corporate board, find a faculty position, or be accepted into polite society.
If you see anybody.
Yeah, that polite society. She said, we have a list. Even Jake Tapper. Why do I mean even Jake Tapper? Of course, Jake Tapper. He said, I truly sympathize with those dealing with losing. It's not easy. But at a certain point, one has to think not only about what's best for the nation, but how any future employers might see your character defined during adversity. Are they serious? Of course they are. We know that. We know all the hate, the name-calling, all the confrontations. It started back in 2016, throwing eggs on Trump supporters in San Jose. In San Diego, 10-year-old little kids cussing out Trump supporters as they drove into a rally. I'll never forget seeing that. Little kid yelling out every obscenity and the parents standing next to them just smiling. And right, and now hear what we have going on. It's way past that. They're going to loot. They're going to burn cities. Trump supporters are still getting attacked, even murdered. And you got the globalist big tech, you got Hollywood, you got the CNNs, and Fox News now, reminding everybody that, you know, there's a bunch of bigoted people out there, man. They're all racist. Hillary said it, those deplorables. Read an article today about, and I've known this was out there, probably even talked about it on the show. In 2014, Communist China did a social credit system, and it actually went fully operational this year. Here's how it's worked. This columnist, Stephen Mosher, explained this. He said, a low social credit score will exclude you from well-paid jobs, make it impossible for you to get a house or a car loan or even book a hotel room. He wrote, the government will slow down your internet connection, ban your children from attending private schools, even post your profile on a public blacklist for all to see. He said it's one of the ways that people can improve their own social credit scores to report on the supposed misdeeds of others. Sound familiar?
Wear a mask, wash your hands, get tested, stay healthy.
Compare that to the statement of the Trump Accountability Project website. That's up right now. They've actually put it out. Former Clinton, well, I don't even remember, Robert Reich, was he Secretary of Education or something? He's come out in support of the Trump Accountability Project. Here's what their website says. We should welcome in our fellow Americans with whom we differ politically. But for those who took a paycheck from the Trump administration, they should not profit from their efforts to tear our democracy apart. The world should never forget those who, when faced with a decision, chose to put their money, their time, their reputations behind separating children from their families, encouraging racism and anti-Semitism, and negligently causing the unnecessary loss of life from our country's failed response to the COVID pandemic. They're advocating for the Truth and Reconciliation Committee. They're going to name every official, politician, executive, and media person whose greed and cowardice enabled the Trump administration. That's where some of them all are, and I'm sure a bunch of them will get in line with that. So they're calling for unity, right? But they want to destroy people's lives? Yeah, look how close that is to the Chinese social credit score, how you behave in society. You know, you want to go to a concert? Well, you got to have your app, and we need to know your medical history. HIPAA violation, Ticketmaster. I hear they're going to walk that back. Have you heard? I've heard they're walking it back, but it has to be a violation.
Well, this next story is a hopeful one. Ticketmaster is planning to require negative COVID-19 tests or vaccinations to attend concerts. According to Billboard, the company is working to use smartphones to confirm fans' COVID status. Once the fan has taken the test or been vaccinated, they would then instruct a lab to release the results to Ticketmaster, which would then issue the fan access to a live event. The plan is still in development phase. Stay tuned.
I bet you anything the recording artist got a hold of them and said, you know what? Absolutely not. We'll start our own tour, our own concerts, right? The word is they're walking that back, but we don't know. The fact that they're thinking it, right? What it does, it just completely waters down, right? Conditions you for the mark of the beast. Speaking of the beast, Congressman T.J. Cox, he's behind David Valadao. We'll talk with Alex Tabley and San Joaquin Valley's son. He's coming up next.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. Trevor Carey on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
He is the executive director of the San Joaquin Valley's son, Alex Tabley. And Alex, welcome, sir.
Great to be back, Trevor. Good to talk to you.
Hey, tell everybody what the San Joaquin Valley Sun is.
Well, it is a news publication here in the Valley covering the latest and greatest from Modesto to Bakersfield. We're based right here in beautiful Fresno, California.
Yeah, and you were on election night, made me aware. There's a lot of Democrats that live in Kern County, right?
There are. You know, Kern County gets a reputation statewide that it's a very conservative area, but there are a lot of pockets of Democrats, and as you and I are now very well aware, they have a nice home in the 21st Congressional District, which is right now in the middle of a nice little battle here.
Indeed. In last election cycle, it was the last election to be called as Congressman David Valadao had the lead. His challenger in 2018, Democrat T.J. Cox. Do you remember how long it was? How long was it in 18?
We did not have resolution on that race until, I want to say it was like the first or second week of December. I mean, we went past Thanksgiving.
So at this point, 2 years ago, we were feeling comfortable that Congressman Valadao was going to keep his position.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, unless you were really tracking the numbers really closely, things were looking pretty good. Things didn't turn for the worse probably until about, I'd say about this next week, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we're all on edge, but it's their career. You know, you think every single day you wake up and don't know yet. I guess we'll have a new update from the counties. Is it tomorrow on Friday?
So it depends. So each county is a little different. And, you know, Fresno County has been the county that has had the most regular updates where they schedule them out. They let you know. Fresno County is due to have an update tomorrow afternoon, but I'm not sure if you're aware, Trevor, we had a big update today in that blue wall of the 21st Congressional District, Kern County.
No, tell me. That's why you're on.
So
you're
we
on
had
top
an update today, which was humongous, and this is what we've been waiting for. For folks at home, Kern County has been the slowest county in the area to get their ballots counted and processed. There's been some hitches along the way. A lot of people pointing fingers at bureaucratic incompetence at the moment. But we finally got a lot of ballots coming in today. They counted over the Veterans Day holiday yesterday. They counted 76,000 ballots of a total of 123,000 in the county. So there are 123,000 ballots to be counted as of Tuesday. Today, 2 days later, they got through 76,000 of them. So about, you know, a good chunk of them, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40-ish percent, a little bit more than that, probably closer to 55. I'm doing math in my head here. And the breakdown actually has some good news for former Congressman David Valadao. Despite there being that many ballots counted, only about 15% were inside of his district, inside of that 21st Congressional District, which is low. The 21st Congressional District eats up about a quarter, 25% of the county of Kern. And so, you know, with 15%, that's a low number to start with, not a lot of ballots to deal with. And T.J. Cox underperformed in that set of you know, in that set of 11,000 ballots or so, he only won about 57%, which is not going to be, if he's going to perform like this, things are looking mighty bright for the Valadao campaign. And so the real question now is, you know, former Congressman David Valadao currently leads by about 2,356 votes, according to the latest update from Kern County. That's district-wide, 2,356 votes. If Kern County continues this trajectory, T.J. Cox is going to have to perform in a big way late in the game to finally take a lead here.
Well, we know that's what they do. They perform really good late in the game.
They do. This election, however, has proved to be very different. So there are some distinctions for folks who are concerned about a repeat of 2018. One of the things that we've seen, you know, at this point in 2018, just for historic sake, now Congressman Cox was performing at a point of, he was winning updates in Kern County at to the tune of, 65% to 70 to 75%. I mean, he was winning quite a bit more. This election, he's basically averaged anywhere from, 59% on election day, which was a lot of the early vote from Democrats and independents voting by mail, to now around 57%. So he really hasn't exceeded that 60% mark in any one update thus far, which is to the benefit of former Congressman David Valadao.
Our guest, Alex Tavley in San Joaquin Valley. Son, when you were saying 123,000 votes and were left and they counted 76,000, was that in Kern County, that those figures you were talking about?
Correct. That's all Kern County. That's the entire county.
Okay. But still, that gives us, 40-some-odd thousand left to vote.
Yeah, that's correct. That's a 46,000.
To count. Or still to vote. Who knows? Maybe we're still voting. I don't know.
Right. And so about 46,800 or 900 is about what we've got left in Kern County, according to the estimates that their elections office is providing. And so that's not, that's a slim margin to play with. And the big question, I wish I could be in studio. I'd bring it with me, Trevor. I'd go full Russert here with, a whiteboard. It's all about Kern. It really boils down in this election to what is left in that election. What is left in Kern County? How many votes are really left in the 21st Congressional District that sit in Kern County? Because if the percentages are as low as this update, which was a sizable update, if it remains at 15%, T.J. Cox is going to have to start generating some real returns, or he's not going to be able to catch a lead.
Yeah, because you can take those 46,000 votes, even factor in his high number, factor in what they did in Fresno County, and you can kind of whittle it down, and it looks good for former Congressman Valadao.
Correct, yeah, and that's the big thing is, there are two other important, side notes here. One is Fresno County still has ballots. They have 9,000 in the county. Not a lot, but something. And more importantly, Kings County, which is entirely eaten up by the 21st. So all ballots in Kings County go into the 21st Congressional District. They have 1,500 ballots. That is former Congressman David Valadao's stronghold. And at the moment, they will be the last to report, more than likely, because they had a coronavirus scare in their elections office. And they had to shut down counting for 2 weeks. So they won't be back until right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that's, I think they had 1,000 left. And as we know, this election last time was we're finding some more Power Talk Precinct President ballots. Where should we drop them off?
I think we find your local elections office, Trevor. I think that's the only
thing I know to do is laugh about this because I'm so angry about it. We can't have an election season. I heard Brandy Orth quoting that, get ready for an election season. No.
In fact, Trevor, I called it the election month at minimum because, just the nature of how we've been conducting elections in California for the last 25 years. It's not election day anymore. It's a month.
We're going to go back to purple as well to put the cherry on the top of all this. How are businesses going to survive this?
I honestly don't know. And the crazy thing is it's coming right as we're hitting Thanksgiving, one of the biggest retail days of the year, Black Friday. I don't know if we're adequately prepared for the economic fallout of this, Trevor.
No, we're not. And it's a delay process. It's like with a lot of diseases. People walk around, don't know they have it, and it's eating them up inside, and it gets them in the long run. And that's every single day we stay in this. Somebody could do a mathematical equation for every day we're in lockdown and continuation of businesses not being able to go back to business and schools, what that actually means for every day we lock down, what that means in the future. There's a price to pay. We're already paying it. Right now. We did hear, I forgot what county was that. We had a supervisor, Kings County, said they're not going to enforce it if they get moved back from red to purple. So we had one supervisor standing up against it. I wish Fresno County, we would stand up against this. We can't put this toothpaste back in that tube. I mean, what are we going to go eat outside when it's 43 degrees? To Californians, that's like, 10 degrees.
It is. And it's funny. Speaking me personally, I have Thanksgiving reservations at a restaurant, and I actually called them up today just to see what their plan was in the event it happens. And at the moment, they don't have one. And that's I don't know. Again, it's crazy to think about this, but you know, this is catching everyone flat-footed, and you're right. I don't know if we're going to be able to put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah, here's Kings County Board of Supervisor Doug Varun.
Make sure they understand the rules put down by the state, but we are not going to go out and enforce those rules upon them. They need to make their adults. They have their own business. They need to make that choice for themselves.
Places like Mono County, you look at Kings, Alpine, Shasta counties, you're starting to see an R effective rate growing. You're starting to see case rates growing.
So I guess we'll just wait for purple rain on Tuesday.
Yeah, I assume so.
I mean, people are at this point, they're talking about COVID fatigue creeping in. I heard them use the word creeping in. I'm like, well, that's something somebody with a paycheck would say, that COVID fatigue is creeping in. No, it's fully engulfed people. I guess schools aren't going to be affected by the change of color, right?
If they're currently open, they won't be affected. Yeah, they opened under a waiver or whatnot. There really isn't a putting a genie back in the bottle when it comes to schools.
All right. Well, thank you for the Valadao Cox update there. That's going to be a good move because as we heard right now, I played this last hour. Let me play Brett Baer correcting on the House call that Fox made on election night.
Have clinched a majority in the House by reaching 218 seats. There are still a handful of races undecided. On election night, the Fox News decision desk correctly predicted soon after 9 Eastern that Democrats would retain control of the House, but they also estimated Democrats would add about 5 seats to their majority. That did not occur. Republicans have gained 6 seats with multiple races yet to be decided.
And that's one of those races we're talking about that is yet to be decided and very easily could be one of the last decided. But that's how Valley voting goes. That's welcome to the Valley, the home of the election month.
Amen to that.
Well, thank you, Alex Tablian. Where can they get all this information? As soon as you get it, you put it out, and you got it out real early in the morning at 3 a.m. Where do they go?
That's right. They can head over to sjvsun.com/signup to sign up for Sunrise AM, the best daily briefing from Modesto to Bakersfield and beyond.
It sure enough is. I'm going to take an election break next, and I'm going to talk about my TV viewing habits. Have yours changed dramatically in the last few years?
They have. There's a lot less sports, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, it's none for me. I have caught some boxcar derby that's pretty competitive. But other than that, it's changed. But like a network, did you used to know like what was on ABC, CBS, NBC on, say, a Thursday night, right?
You know, I was one of those early cord cutters, so I don't know. I haven't known for a few years.
Yeah, but I'm saying back in the day. Go back when you were 20 years old, right? I mean, but my habits have changed so much in just the last few years. I want everything now to have a skip intro, don't you?
Oh, I'm with you there.
I'm like, any show that doesn't have skip intro seems so 2018. Come on, we got to skip those intros. Alex, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Alex Hadley and San Joaquin Valley Sun. My viewing habits have changed. I'm gonna go over the timeline next.
The Trevor Carey Show, Power Talk 96.7, AM 1400, and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Hearing Christmas music doesn't even feel real. I don't even feel like July 4th happened. It's a weird time, isn't it? What's weird is my TV viewing habits. You know, over the years, it's all changed. Over my lifetime, first color TV set, it was a piece of furniture. It was a Zenith. It was heavy. It's like 1971. My memory at 5 was watching a Japanese Godzilla movie on it. I remember, wow, color TV and that Japanese Godzilla movie. I don't know why that sticks in my mind as a little kid watching that, but we all got hooked, right, on TV. Then the next big step was a remote control. You don't have to get up and change the channel. Man, some of the first remotes had a string on them, a cord that you had. Next big step, wow. Remember VCRs? You can record your favorite program, watch it later, or somebody can loan you what they recorded because they knew how to work the timer on it. I never knew the timer. You still had to get up and stop and start the VCR. The next big step, remember the VCR got a remote control? Man, that was something else. And then the new cable boxes came out that had a remote control. What more could a TV viewer need, I thought back in 1985. But then DVDs came along. Yeah. And then DVDs were mailed. Do you remember that company called Netflix back in 2003? They would mail you the DVDs, and I would keep them too long. And but it wasn't like the I don't think they charged you for late charges like Blockbuster would do. It's like you mailed it back when you were done. I don't even remember how it happened. And then they moved into the thing where some of them they would mail you the DVD, then some of them you could stream online. Wow, but you had to have a high-speed connection for that, right? And then I think the next big step was where you could, was it TiVo? I think it was TiVo it was called. You could record a bunch of, and that was when TiVo came out. Now, look where we are right now. We are people cutting the cable. You heard Alex Tavlian said he was an early cord cutter. I have yet to cut the cord. It's based out of laziness. It really is. But, you know, then we moved to, you know, you could record countless shows all stored digitally. So what more could a TV viewer want? Well, now my viewing has changed so much that when I watch TV, I almost feel like I'm in a hurry. Cut the fluff. Get to the point. I find myself getting impatient. Now, really? You getting impatient? But a recorded version. Let's say Diners, Drive-In, and Dives. They just featured Salty's Barbecue in Bakersfield. I asked Squires, who has history in that town, and my boss here has history in that town. I said, you ever go there? They're like, yeah, it's great stuff. But I saw that on there. But let's say you recorded Diners, Drive-In, and Dives on my Comcast DVR. I'm a times remote, right? Got to hit fast forward three times during Diners, Drive-In, and Dives. I got to hit fast forward. See, to me now, that's even become work. I now want to watch everything that I don't even have to fast forward. There are certain shows I record that I have obviously, I don't know if they've held some focus group that show that there are others like me out there, because now on my DVR recording, there's a feature called Smart Resume. I love that. Thank you, networks that use Smart Resume. What you do is when it goes to the commercial and you have it recorded on DVR, you don't have to hit times one, times two, times three, times, and sit there with that impatient feeling of trying to time it right. Don't you hate when you hit play too quick? You're like, it's still in the commercial. So they came up with this. Some focus group knew there were people out there like me, and they started Smart Resume. You can hit times four, fast forward, and it stops it right when it starts. I'm like, okay, that settled that one. But you still got to find the remote 10 times during a 2020 on the Golden State Killer, right? You got to find the remote. Hit. Now I'm like, now I got to hit Smart Resume. Now that feels like work to me. But I don't have that stress of running it. But now Netflix has me trained to skip intros. Networks that don't allow that option now, I'm impatient with. It's more difficult for me, and I've known for a long time what Netflix and a few others are now figuring out, right? It's get to the point. We have become a get-to-the-point society, right? You don't pull it to a drive-thru window. Hi, what would you like? Well, I was craving a hamburger this morning. My uncle called me before I went to bed and told me he had barbecued some great. You know, we get to the point, right? And society is becoming that way. Skip intros. You watch a 1990s, early 2000s movie, right? They got these long intros with all the direct, you know, everybody that's in it. You see, now what we're doing is, man, we're a get-to-the-point society. You got to do it. Get to the point. And it is. And the point I'm making, I guess, is with all this technology, all this enjoyment, somehow, as it gets easier, I'm getting more stressed by it. This might be a mindless ramble to some, but about getting to the point, and that's what it is. And so I guess there'd be no reason to hit skip intro if they just got to the point out the chute. It's we've become fast-paced, have we not? But we need to slow down, and we need to count every vote. Because why?
We're in a situation where we have put together And you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
I'm sure you have. We know that. And we know that the Democrats, boy, they are so easy to get along with. And we know in 2016 that they were so easy to get along with. I mean, right after Hillary, she just conceded. She was such a sweetheart.
Hillary Clinton, say what you want, she promptly conceded, even though she spanked them in the popular vote. Why? That's what our system demands. Other Democrats swiftly came to terms with Trump's victory.
Oh, yeah. They swiftly came to terms with it. That's what we saw for 4 years, them coming to terms with Trump's victory. And how dare you to say that President Trump should not concede, correct?
Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out.
Okay. He didn't listen to her advice, did he? He should not concede. Yes, he did. He didn't listen to his own advice from the debate, did he?
Vice President Biden, final question for you. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm while the vote is counted? And will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified?
Yes. And here's the deal. They count the ballots, as you pointed out. Some of these ballots in some
Classic.
States can't even be opened until Election Day. And if there's thousands of ballots, it's going to take time to do it. And by the way, our military, they've been voting by ballots for since the end of the Civil War, in effect. And that's what's going to happen. Why was it not? Why is it for them somehow not fraudulent? It's the same process.
Will you pledge tonight that you will not declare victory until the election has been independently certified? President Trump, you go first.
I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully, because that's what has to happen. I am urging them to do it. As you know, today there was a big problem. In Philadelphia, they went in to watch. They're called poll watchers, a very safe, very nice thing.
This is from September 29th at the debate.
They were thrown out. They weren't allowed to watch. You know why? Because bad things happen in Philadelphia. Bad things. And I am urging my people. I hope it's going to be a fair election. If it's a fair election, I am 100% on board.
And it's not a fair election. And we're figuring it out as we see the blueprint of the countdown to socialism right in front of our eyes. 520, we're going to talk with Congressman Devin Nunes coming up right here.